This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper. We're speaking with Tim Skinner, who is the head of Best Sweeping Specialist Incorporated, located in Goshen, Indiana. Best Sweeping Specialist and Tim are the World Sweeper Contractor of the Month, featured contractor for February 2012. So welcome, Tim, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. You are a great contractor to choose for first part of the year in 2012. Normally, at this part of the interview, I would say, well, tell how your company got started, but in your case, you're such an old-timer at this. Instead, tell people how you actually got started in sweeping.
I've been sweeping since pretty much puberty, and that was a long time ago. I had quit college, and I was spending time at home. I had quit the job I had because it worked well with my college hours, and my stepmother came up to me and in a nice, kind, sweet voice said, Tim, you either have to get a job, go back to school, or join the Army. And this was Vietnam, so I didn't want to join the Army, and I quit school because it was creating problems in my life, so I went out and got a job, and there was a company that formed that was sweep the Chicago Expressway Systems, and I went down there one night to apply, and half an hour later, I was riding in an Elgin Pelican, bouncing my way down the Dan Ryan Expressway. That's how I got started in sweeping.
What an introduction. And then you were essentially worked for them as a laborer and then began as a sweeper operator, or how did that go?
Yeah, exactly. I worked for two seasons as a laborer, and they had a fleet of Pelicans and two Murphy sweepers, which were a four-wheel sweeper that had highway capabilities where the Pelicans were kind of slow and plodding and bouncy. The reason I ended up, they put me in the Murphy was because I had, prior to that, I had worked as a messenger service in the Chicago area, and I kind of knew all the expressway systems and knew the ramps, knew where I was going. And when you're sweeping the ramps, you could be on the Dan Ryan or the Kennedy or the Edens or the Stevenson, and some ramps you can get off on and you can't get back on. And I kind of knew my way all around. I could get off and then get back on and do whatever I needed to do. So I guess that knowledge got me in the sweeper and doing that, and I learned to drive the Pelican so I could go in that too, but that was more of a punishment. If I did something that got my boss mad, he put me in a Pelican for a night or two to get me back on track.
I'm sure that same thing goes on in most sweeping companies even today.
I think so. You get the boss mad, you get the old sweeper.
And then there was actually a transition that I happen to know about that's, I think, interesting as well. Talk about that, if you would.
Are you talking about when I went to go work for the Elgin Sweeper
company? I am, uh-huh.
Okay. My son was looking for a toy sweeper. He was 2 years old, and he told me he wanted a sweeper for Christmas, and I went to every store I could get, and I could find John Deere tractors, and you could find any kind of semi-truck or basically any kind of loader, but I couldn't find a sweeper. And I was listening to the radio one day, and it was a show on WGN in Chicago, Roy Leonard, and it ultimately it had a hard-to-find Christmas item show. And I told him what I was looking for, a sweeper, and then he would broadcast that on the radio, and then anybody who knew where you could find one could call in and tell you where you could get one. And a gentleman called in when I was listening on the radio while I was snow plowing, and we didn't have cell phones back in those days, and the instruction was to call the station, and they would give me this gentleman's phone number, and then I could call him, which I did when we got done plowing. There's a whole lot of coincidences this, because the only reason that this gentleman was listening to the Roy Leonard Show is because the snowstorm that I was plowing in, it was so bad that roads were closed and people couldn't get to work, so he was home listening on the radio and heard it. So it was a lot of coincidences. But he invited my son and I, after I told him why I wanted the sweeper, to come out and visit him at the plant, and it turned out to be the president of the Elgin Sweeper Company. At the time, it was a gentleman named Roger Parsons. And we talked and had a nice day, and a week or so later, he called me up and he asked me to come in for a job interview, which I did, and I got the job, and I ended up traveling all over the country representing Elgin Sweeper and the Elgin Eagle, teaching people how to operate it, how to work on it. Whenever they bought one, I would go in and help them put it in service, And I demoed all over the country for all the regional sales reps and enjoyed the heck out of it.
Well, and out of that, you and I have shared some fun stories offline, and I think let's try to see if we can't relate the story that we talked about the lady who was looking for a sweeper that didn't bounce as much, and you know, make that as delicate as you can. But that's probably you know, that's one of those stories that anybody who's been in a purpose-built chassis can well understand, that whatever part of your anatomy is in it is going to be bounced around. Tell me what that about that demo. Tell our listeners, if you will.
Well, part of it that I didn't tell you earlier on when we spoke of this, when I had gotten into Seattle, this was in Seattle, Washington, by the way, I had flown in from Sacramento, California, I think, and it was a late flight. I had worked all day and was kind of grubby, and I had washed down the sweeper. When you do a demo, you try to save the sweeper operator having to do that, so I would do that, and makes his day a little bit easier. Maybe he'll think a little more highly of me because I'm not afraid to get dirty. But I went out, washed the sweeper, and I did not have time to go back to the hotel. I had already checked out, so I get to the airport in kind of grubby clothes. Of course, I washed my hands and face. But when I got to Seattle, it was close to midnight, and the plane had lost my luggage. So I'm in Seattle now with no luggage, wearing the same clothes that I had worn the next day, and I'm going to meet the representative from the Elgin dealership up there, pick me up at the hotel at 6 in the morning to go do a demo. So I'd had about 3 hours sleep, and again, not looking like the way I would want to look. But we went, did a walk around. The sweeper was there. It was all clean and shiny and looking brand new, and we had a whole group of people to see the walk around. This was not a demo per se yet. And this girl came up to me and asked me if at the end of the day driving one of these, if her breasts were going to hurt. And it kind of floored me a little bit, and I asked her, do they hurt now? She said, they do when I drive that mobile athy. So I said, well, we'll have to find out. And she said that she had used sports bras and she had wrapped herself with elastic bandages and everything, but nothing would keep them from bouncing. So we went out that night, and with the air suspension on the Eagle, she was just in heaven. So in my report that I included to Elgin at the end of the demo, I told them that if they ever were to market this sweeper, they ought to get Jane Russell and have her drive over railroad tracks with a camera pointed at her bosom, and they could see that there was no bounce in the Elgin sweeper. And everybody at the factory got kind of a kick out of it. And when I got back to the factory, they were all walking around with their hands out asking me just how big she was.
I'm sure that they were. that's a great story. Well, and then were you working for Elgin when you decided to start your own business, or how did that transpire?
Actually, when I worked for Elgin, and I loved the Elgin company, and I loved my job, and as you can tell, I talk a lot, and I got to meet people and work with people who all they did was sweep, and that's unusual. You know, if you aren't that many people relative to the size of the city or town or country that care about street sweepers, it's just something they see every now and then. And on this job, everybody I dealt with was concerned. It was a salesman, or it was the sweeper operator I was riding with, or it was whoever was going to purchase it. I mean, they all had questions, and you could talk about sweeping to people who cared. And by this time, I had over 17 years of sweeping experience, so I wasn't just a rookie, and I certainly wasn't a salesman. I was just somebody there to show them how to sweep. But I felt that my job was to convince the sweeper operator that this was a good machine, and it was, and it usually worked. Well, we did a demo in a town of Goshen, Indiana. Somebody had purchased an Eagle, and he was having problems with it streaking, and he couldn't get it to sweep good, and his operators didn't know anything, and quite frankly, this guy didn't know anything. He was just an entrepreneur with an idea to start a sweeping business. So I came in there and spent 3 days, got the machine all tuned up, got it sweeping like it was supposed to, and spent time with his operators and taught them, and it was time to go home. And the next week, I got a package like from the Chamber of Commerce of Goshen, you know, telling me all the good things about the town, and he called me up and talked to me about coming to work with him. In fact, he offered me a position of a partnership at in the future. There was no set date on that, but that would be the only way I would make a move. Well, I traveled a lot with Elgin, and I had two little kids at home, and it was hard on my wife because I was on the road sometimes for 2 weeks at a time before I would get back home, depending on where we were working. If I was in New York City, they'd fly me home every weekend because it was cheaper to do that than to keep me living there on the expense account for over the weekend. But my wife was working full-time, had two kids under the age of three, and it was just hard. So when this gentleman talked to me from Goshen about moving out here, I brought my wife out. We took a look at the town. We looked at some houses, and we talked about it and ultimately made the decision to make the move and leave Elgin, which kind of broke my heart, but I love my wife more than I love my job. So I made the move, and at the time, I think this business that I moved into had done $40,000 worth of work or something his first year, and I was there 18 months, and we had headed up to $400,000. I was very successful at what I was doing, but I was doing the billing, I was doing the selling, and I was doing the sweeping. I mean, I was kind of doing everything, and that partnership thing had not evolved yet. So I asked him one day about it, and we went and saw the lawyers, and just come time to sign the papers, he backed out. And so that was there. And then come winter time, he told me that he didn't think they'd be able to afford to keep me on during the winter, and that I would probably have to take a pay cut. And I told him, well, I won't tell you what
I'm sure. I'm sure what you told him wouldn't work very well, huh?
Yeah, I can't
Boy.
Say it.
But mm-hmm.
I took a layoff, and in the winter months, I put together a business plan. I went to several banks and was rejected by every one of them. Goshen's not that big of a town, and this guy knew everybody in town. So I went to my sister and brother-in-law and asked them for a loan to help me get in business. And my brother-in-law's shrewd, and he's a businessman, and he set me up with his accountant, and his accountant went over my business plan, and he thought that there was some merit to it. So they lent me the money, and I bought my first sweeper, and within, it was probably only about a two-year period. The gentleman had four sweepers at the other company. He was out of business, and I now have 14 sweepers. So
that
I guess
tale,
that's how I got into it.
That's right. The tale is told, and sometimes people get what they deserve, and sometimes that happens sooner rather than later. So good for you to follow through on that. And
I didn't have a lot of choice. I mean, I'm in a town, you know, 150 miles away from my home, and had bought a house and had kids in the school system by this time now. And, you know, what else are you going to do? It was not like I sat there and planned to be a businessman. It was a survival. I had mortgage payments to make. So I really never expected it to grow. I just was trying to make enough money to make ends meet. And I found out that if you do a good job and you price yourself fairly, you grow, and people pass. To this day, this is 20 years ago, I've never spent a dime on advertising, unless you call the lettering on my trucks advertising. And it helped that the area grew. We had one Walmart. Now I encompass seven. We had no Lowe's, and now I was sweeping six of them. We had no Menards. I do four Menards now. So it isn't just my salesmanship ability or anything of that nature. It's just you sweep one Menards, another one comes up, and they say, who sweeps you? They call the other guy, and he says, best sweeping, and they call me, and it just spreads like that. You know, by the same token, I think if you screw up, that'll spread a lot faster.
I think you're exactly right about that. They say that a lot more people hear about it faster when you screw up than when you do the job right.
I take pride, and I've passed that on to everybody that works for me, and I think that has a lot to do with it. You make your people feel like they're doing something good. You make them know they're working for a good company. You treat them fairly, and of course they want to go out and continue to work for you. They have to continue to do a good job, and that has pretty much been the story of my growth. You provide a quality service at a fair price. Don't try to get greedy. Don't try to get rich. Just make a living and take care of the people that take care of you.
Well, and you're telling me also off the audio a little while ago, we were talking about how you keep track of employees and so forth, and you have a real honor system there that works for you. You have two offices, If you would talk about your offices and your employees and what kind of turnover you have and what kind of production you get out of your employees.
The first employee I ever hired is no longer with me. He left a while ago, moved out of state is what happened with him. But the second employee I hired is still with me. He's been with me for probably 18 years now. My right-hand man was with me for 15 years and just retired. I couldn't envision somebody retiring. I can't, you know, I'm me working here long enough. You don't think in those terms when you're starting out. You're thinking about get through this week. Let's make it through this month. Let's make it through next month. And now, I just don't have a big turnover rate. Whenever I needed, we got another truck or we had another route or we had to need another employee, I would just let people know, do you need to know anybody looking for a job that you trust? And, you know, somebody recommends somebody to you generally. In my instance, everything I've observed, it works out pretty good. They're sending you somebody that they don't want to get embarrassed by and somebody they think will fill the niche. And I've never advertised for employees. And there was a time here where in Elkhart County we had like a 3% unemployment rate. This is a big RV capital of the country, RVs and modular homes. And you couldn't find people. So I was blessed with the fact that I had good people, and it was hard. So I knew of people who advertised, and you'd get people who either, with a 3% unemployment rate, the people that would come and look were just trying to fill out an unemployment form saying they stopped somewhere, or they were people that you wouldn't want driving your vehicle representing you, you know. So I was lucky that people that worked for me had cousins or had brothers or had sisters. I've had a couple women work here, and I actually found them to be better sweeper operators than most of the men. They were very conscientious and very concerned and took their time and just did a great job. So keep that in mind, too. Female usually makes a better employee from what I found. I'd hire all females if enough of them wanted to work nights and weekends.
You know, I've heard that from other places as well, and I think that's a resource that is not as well tapped. And by the same token, I think a female working as a salesperson for a sweeping operation, I know a number of contractors that, you know, and as a guy, this is kind of a sexist thing to say, and I know I'm going out on a limb here, but
don't do it.
But the fact is that I am always impressed when a woman knows, you know, cars and mechanics and, you know, whatever the job title is that's kind of a hands-on, you know, where it's unexpected that, because I'm about your age, we know where I'm 61, and when I went to school, I was not allowed to go into home economics. None of the guys could take that, none of the women could take shop, and it's great to be away from that, and it's good to be reminded that, you know, we live in a world that anybody can do whatever it is that they want to do, and it's, I think, great, especially for the older crowd, which happens to be in management a lot of the time, to see a woman representing a company and doing it professionally and being knowledgeable about something as hands-on as sweeping and pavement maintenance and so forth. So I think in that area, too, for those listeners, really, you know, consider what well-trained person can do for you. Sex does not matter at all. So
not a bit. The only problem is there's not a lot of women that want to, at least I have not run across a lot, that want to work nights. You know, you are by yourself, you're in your vehicle, you're in parking lots that are, not all of them are shut down, your Walmarts are 24 hours, but you're in, could be fairly dark places. You get out with a leaf blower and you're blowing the sidewalk. Sometimes you can't hear real well because the blower's going, you know, somebody will sneak up behind you or something. You could have that happen. Knock on wood, I've never had any issues in all the years we've been in business. I've never had a driver attacked or harassed to any great extent. And my instruction has always been and always will, if you sense something is not right or you see something coming towards you that you're not comfortable with, get in your truck and leave. We'll come back and sweep it later, or I'll call the customer up and tell them we had a, you know, my driver was concerned because there was a three or four people hanging out. You know, I don't care. I'd much rather apologize to a store for not sweeping them than go visit somebody in a hospital.
Absolutely. That's a real good point. What are some other things you've picked up through through the years, either picked up as tips or found on parking lots. You can take that as a double entendre if you'd like.
Yeah, we can't. There's some things you find out there that you can't even talk about on the phone. You find people in the back of buildings doing things that should be done in a motel. You find a lot of street people sleeping on the benches in a shopping center because it's lit and they feel safe. Drivers find wallets and watches and monies, and they're always talking on the phone. I found $5, or I found a dollar, or I found a 20. You know, so you find money occasionally, and it makes their whole night. They could find $5 and work 12 hours and think they had a great day because they found $5. You know, it's. But we find things. I sweep and clean up after the Notre Dame football games. We clean some of the parking lots, not all of them, and we sweep inside the stadium. We go up the ramps with the trucks. We sweep the upper deck. We sweep the concourse levels. I don't do the seating areas, but everything outside the seating we do. And you find all kind of things there. If you get there early enough, and we're there early on Sunday mornings, you find cases of beer that people don't want to drive home with. You find clothes. You find one of my drivers found an envelope that looked suspicious to him, and he got out, opened it up, and there was a check for $10,000 there, made out to Notre Dame and signed, you know, a donation from somebody, and of course we turn that in. But yeah, you find all kind of things out there, from hubcaps to baseballs, tools. People work on their car, leave their tools in the parking lot. There are some treasures you find. Most of the time you're finding garbage, but you do find some good things now and then.
And sometimes the good things are mixed in with the garbage, or soon will be. Makes you wonder what, through the years, what has been mixed in with some of the things that end up in the hopper, huh?
You don't know. They don't suck up tools too good, at least not my trucks, but they'll suck up money. Once somebody finds money, I worry that they're out there spending time looking for more. You know, there's never a single dollar laying there. There should have been two or three, so they'll walk around and look. But that's all part of it. It's just, you know, then they'll go out and they'll hustle a little harder because they know they wasted some time.
Well, and I think there's a natural lead in there for, there's another double entente where sweepers suck up money, don't they,
yes.
though?
Yes, they do.
You have a Schwartz fleet, I understand. Talk about what the sweepers you own and why, if you would.
Why I first started with Schwartz, the honest to God truth is I was familiar with the Elgin Eagle. And the Elgin Eagle used an Isuzu C240 engine back then. I don't know if they still do or not. In fact, I think they can't because they can't sell them in this country anymore. So I originally envisioned myself having a fleet consisting of big sweepers and small sweepers. And what I discovered around this area, the part of the country that I'm in, there just wasn't the demand for a full-size city sweeper, mechanical or vacuum. Everything that I can do with mine, and the Schwartz 348i is a very powerful truck. I'm not saying it's as powerful as a Crosswind or something, but it can do a job. And the people, the paving contractors that use me, know what my capabilities are. When the mill picks up, I can't pick up that pile he leaves. But they'll come, they have a bobcat on a job or a tractor broom, or they'll broom it and pick it up at a pile, and I come and get the rest. It's never hindered me not having the big truck. So we don't need CDL licenses. None of my drivers have to. I have one because I've just always maintained it, but I don't need it, and I just found I didn't have to have one. And once I had that Schwartz and saw what it was capable of, and once I realized that they supported their product real well and they took care of me, because I was kind of naive. I'd never driven a small sweeper, much less a Schwartz. Everybody at that plant was good to me for a long period of time. I never had issues. They talked me through things. And then as I grew, of course, I got more employees, and I got a mechanic, and all the things that come with that. And I haven't had to learn a whole lot more. I did a lot of work on my trucks by myself, and I didn't enjoy one minute of that. Excuse me. When I work on a truck, or when I work even on my car, I bleed. I'm just not a mechanic. Anytime I try to do mechanical stuff, I end up busting a knuckle, or I end up cutting myself. I'm just not mechanically inclined. I can sweep with the best, but I can't fix them with the best. I can diagnose it, but I get somebody else to fix it now.
Well, I think that's part of the wisdom that comes with with age and seniority.
Yes, it does. And one thing I haven't mentioned, my first three trucks from Schwartz were all white. That's their standard color, and that's how they come. And it got to a point where I needed a fourth truck, and a pretty big contract was dependent on, and I'd need another vehicle. So I called up Schwartz, and the only thing they had that was ready built was a red one. And I kind of went, oh, you know, it's a red one. But I ended up buying it. And people said, I see you have a second truck now. Every time they saw a white one, they thought it was the same truck, even though I had three of them. So that kind of opened my eyes a little bit. So the next truck I got was yellow, and then the next one I got was green, and then the next one I got was gold. And I have a fleet of, I have a Rainbow Coalition, which draws attention. So whenever I get a new truck, the first thing somebody asks me, what color did you get? Then they ask, the second question is, what did you name it? We started naming the trucks. Somebody had an idea, one of the drivers, and they wanted to put, I think it was, a guy's name was Gene, and he called it Lean Gene Sweeping Machine. And then the red one became Little Red Riding Vac. And then the yellow one was the Yellow Belly Trash Sucker. And so on and so on. We have the legend of Sweepy Hollow. We had Sweep Cherry Wine for the Burgundy truck. Blue truck was My Blue Heaven, and so forth. You know, so we got known for having the names on the trucks along the back there, and everybody wants to know what the name of the new truck is. So I oftentimes let the drivers name the truck. It gives them a little feeling like they're a part of it. And I'll let the driver pick the new color. What color should the next truck be? Not that it's going to be his truck necessarily, but I let him name the color of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, I had to buy a white one once again because that's all they, it was always when the went from clean engines to the dirty engine, from the dirty engines to the clean engine. Schwartz called me and they told me it was the last dirty engine they had. The next truck I was going to get would have to be with the EPA requirements that afterburner, catalytic converter, whatever it is on there.
Right.
So I bought that white one, as much as I hated to buy another white one. But by then, white was a new color because I hadn't had one in the first three. So I guess it wasn't so bad, and it was cheaper.
And that is a color as well. You know, let me make a comment on that story. That's a great story, and it really is something I know has made your fleet totally distinctive for your area. And it's branding supreme. You know, people talk about the difference between sales and marketing, and then the real sophisticated ones bring in the concept of branding. How do you set yourself apart in your marketplace? And you hit upon something, whether you came in the front door or the back door here, that brands your company like nothing else could. And it gives you something to talk about. You're the guy with the machines of all colors. People would, when they see one machine with a name and then they see another color and another name and another color and another name, it would build your business in terms of stature, but it also, it lends a humanity to your sweeping company, not only for yourself, but it gives pride to your customers, it gives pride to your employees and your operators especially, too. And so anyway, I really commend you on following through with that and not just moving back to white and having one lone red sheep, so to speak, in your fleet with a whole group of marshmallows. So.
Oh, well, they charge you $1,500 for the color, so it's a maybe I do spend money on advertising. That's it.
Well,
different colored trucks.
You clearly do. Well spent is what I would think.
It's been fun. And then I have a logo that my brother-in-law designed, the same person that lent me the money, and his business was graphic design. And when I was going to start the business, he gave me, God, I don't know, 15, 20 different samples. He must have sat in his office one day just doing all kinds of drawings and sketches. And I picked this one out that I liked, and I've had it ever since. And people, I still get compliments on it. It's just, I don't know, it's a little bit different, I guess. But that has also helped. And that, of course, goes on my letterheads, and it goes on... you know, anything that I do use in terms of envelopes and things, but business card.
Well, you know why he did that, though, of course.
It
was his money. He didn't want to lose his money.
Yeah, I know. But the very first place that I actually gave a card to, it was a shop, and I was buying something. I still got them hanging on my walls, and I forget what they're called, but it just basically says, you know, customers are blah, 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 and to achieve great goals. It's a store that sells things that, you know, inspirational type things. And for some reason, I gave that guy the card, and he says, don't ever change your logo. That was his first word of advice. And it's still back when I just had one truck, and he looked at it and he said, this is terrific, you know. So I just thought it was nice. I didn't realize it was that special, but I've gotten a lot of compliments on it through the years. And they used to have to paint it on. They couldn't do it in vinyl. Now they've got newer sign machines and things, so when they letter up my trucks, it's all vinyl now, but they used to have to hand paint that part of it.
Well, that's a good reminder to people to do vinyl on their sweepers, because, you know, you can take the vinyl off usually up to 3 or 4 years later, and they may show some sun differences, but at least you don't have your name floating around on somebody else's sweeper.
Well, I've only traded in one sweeper in all the years I've bought sweepers, and normally when I bought one, it was because of growth, and then I got to a point where the growth had kind of stabilized, but now I was buying a new truck to replace an older truck that was kind of worn. But what I traded in to Schwartz, and it was actually that first red one, the only red one I had, and I got a call here, it must have been 2 years later or something, from somebody saying, telling me he's trying to fix something on the truck and he doesn't know what this is or that is, and to the rest of my knowledge, I didn't have any trucks in the shop, you know, and I said, I think you're mistaken. I said, what truck have you got? He said, well, I got this red sweeper, says Best Sweeping on it. Well, I didn't take the logos off when I sold it to Schwartz or traded it in, and they must have just sold it as is. Never took the logos off or anything, and this guy was down in Tennessee somewhere working on this truck, and my name still had my phone number.
Oh,
on.
No.
That's how he called me. So I said, damn.
Yeah, now, boy, there's a cautionary tale.
Yeah, when you go to trade something in, if it's got your stuff on it, man, get it off. I didn't get the bill for the repairs, so I was all right.
At least that. And I want to make a comment, too, about the fact that you have a 348 fleet. There's a lot made today of mixing your fleet up. You have decided not to do that. I think that in the, you know, my editorial advice is always keep looking at other types of sweeping equipment, you know, whatever changes there are out there, and you know, should you mix your fleet between single engines and dual engines and tow behinds or slide ins or whatever to be able to really you know, match the needs. But we don't want to lose track of the fact that a 348, as an example, is a very powerful twin-engine sweeper. When you get right down to it, yes, the operating cost is going to be different than a, you know, single-engine sweeper. However, you're able to run your machines by day doing construction site cleanup and that sort of thing, and you're simply not going to be doing that with a single engine, for example.
No, and for the past, last year was the first year I did not buy a new truck, but prior to that I would buy a new one every year towards the end of the year for tax reasons or for, like I say, to upgrade the fleet. And I buy the 348 because I know them by now. We know them inside and out, and anybody here can work on them. If I got something else, maybe you'd have to relearn. I'm older. I'm not a young man anymore, so I don't want to go out and experiment too much. My drivers on nights, they all, like you recycle, I'll get a new one, and then somebody else down to get the next one, and it goes to the night shift. And to them, it's a new truck, and even though it's like 3 years old now, to them, that's a new truck, and they just get a thrill out of it and a kick out of it. And every time I get a new one, I have to think, oh, God, what are we going to do now? Trade them down. Who's going to get the next one? It's not always seniority. Sometimes it's replace the older truck. You'll get the new one, and that creates a few problems because the senior guy thinks he should have got it, but he just got
it
last year. You know, you can't every year.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a thing. But Schwartz has always been good to me. I had never had a problem with them or the company or the equipment. It's a well-made truck. We maintain them very well, and for the most part, I just haven't had a problem, so it's kind of maybe the dance with what brung you.
You bet. You
bet.
Kind of
an attitude. And I don't know. Sometimes the salesman kept telling me I was getting a really good price on them, and I talked to some other people, found out what they pay, and I am getting a good price, but I don't use warranty. I don't think they've ever, they might have warranted me a fan one time that wore out too soon, but I don't abuse that warranty privilege, and they tell me that's one of the ways, reasons why they can price them cheap to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first year I use one, I don't go out of the warranty other than the year. I don't usually go over the hours. When I first started in business, I would have over the 1,200 hours way before the year would be up. Now, my machine, the one that I use during the day, I don't put that kind of hours on it. You know, so by the time night guy gets it, it's still a nice truck. And I keep it clean, and I keep it up. And I think because I do, everybody else keeps their trucks up. Other than this time of the year, when it's freezing outside, you can't wash them down right the way you'd like to. But we have a towel service. I have a big stack of 100 towels I get every week, and they come in, and they're to spray it with water, and, you know, soap and water if it's really dirty. If it's just dusty, spray them with water and dry them with the towels, throw it in the bucket, and they pick them up and wash them, and we get, you know, new ones at the end of the week. So we keep our fleet clean, and I think that's important. It's hard to go out and sell a cleaning service business if your trucks look like heck, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very good point. Are there any other things we should talk about, you know, either in how you handle your employees? You have a very low turnover rate, I know. You know, what do you think contributes to that?
My charming personality.
Well, I can't even imagine why I ask.
Yeah, no, I've always felt, from the day I got my first employee and my wife and I discussed it at length, I was putting in about 80 hours a week, and it gets to the point where you're burning your candles at both ends, and sooner or later you're going to have an accident, somebody's going to get hurt, something's going to happen.
You're going to get a divorce.
Yeah, that too. So we determined that we would not hire an employee till we can have insurance, till we can, you know, do it right, because we both worked all our life. Man, we grew up poor. We never had anything. And the only insurance we ever got was through your job. Now, my, how times have changed. So I insisted on that. So when they came in here, and it was free for a long time. I didn't get any part of it back. I just picked it up. But, of course, that was 20 years ago, and insurance doesn't cost then what it does now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have insurance. My drivers get vacations. For the first 15 years in business, I paid them, let's say the first 13 years, I paid them 40 hours a week in the winter, whether they worked it or not. I would have them come in if I needed some. We'd work on the trucks. We'd clean. We'd paint. We'd do things, you know, not all the time, but they didn't have to. They still got the 40-hour check. And this was at the time when there was 3% unemployment in Elkhart County, and you didn't want to lose good people because you're going to lay them off for 3 months. And it isn't even a layoff because, you know, you might sweep one night, then it snows, you're off 3 nights, then you'd work another night. But it wasn't enough to sustain a family, you know, and pay your bills. So I kept them on a 40-hour week. I picked up a couple snow plows. We do a little bit of plowing. I got out of that pretty quick. It wasn't that profitable. It was more of a pain in the butt than it was worth. But I guess just taking care of the employees. I give them a week's pay at Christmas time, a 40-hour check just as a Christmas bonus. May come a point where I can't do that, but I've done that every year since I've been in business. I give them 3 weeks vacation after 5 years, and I've got guys been with me 17 years, 14 years, 13 years. At the time I initiated that, I never realized I'd have people here that long. You know, it kind of evolved. It's why I'm not rich to this day. But my people, I think, enjoy their job. I think they're people that like to be alone, because you're alone an awful lot at night in the trucks. You've got AM/FM radios. They have two-way radios. They all have cell phones with a Nextel walkie-talkie feature. So if you want to say something, you don't have to have everybody that's got a radio, two-way radio, hear it. You can go right on the direct. You know, they want to call me names. I might be in a truck or something, you know, and I might hear it. So they know that. So they've got the walkie-talkie. I guess I just take good care of them. I care. I don't know how else to describe it. I think of them as family. I try to let them know I appreciate them. I'm not afraid to jump on their case if they need it. But by the same token, when they do a good job, you tell them they did a good job and that you appreciate them. And I don't have any magic words of wisdom on that regard. I guess I've been lucky.
Well, I think you just gave some magic words of wisdom in that regard, actually. So those are the kinds of things that I think will be helpful to other people listening out there.
I think you need to treat people the way you want to be treated. And like I said, I worked all my life. I wasn't a businessman. I have no business acumen. I have no business training. It's all flying by the seat of the pants. So basically, you treat people the way you want to treat them, and that's customers and employees alike.
Well, Well, there you go. Is there anything else we should add in? That's actually a pretty good place to leave it. But
yeah,
the other thing, so.
No, I have nothing else to add. It's a tough business. It's competitive, and it isn't even competitive so much with other companies. It's the value of the service itself has seemed to have been diminished a little bit, where retail stores had a lot of money and they all wanted to keep everything clean, and now they're not afraid to cut back a little bit. Instead of sweep me 5 days a week, do me two. Instead of sweep me 3 days a week, do me one. Once a month, do me every other month. It's a cutback in service. And I can't imagine that's just local for me.
That's nationwide, and some of it is the third party vendors, of course.
I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, and there's not much positive for our industry that can be said there. That's for sure. Part of it, I think, is the internet too. You're not just competing with the guy down in the next block over these days. You're competing with online sales where you're not paying taxes, and so there's those kinds of things that are in there too. But
I love what I do. I mean, that's part of it. I guess if you don't like what you're doing, then somehow your attitude will be different or it won't be reflected. I really believe in what we do, and it saves on the asphalt. There is a curb appeal when somebody first pulls into a parking lot. One example, and this is, I'll get off here quick, but when I first went into business, I thought of putting out these little signs, like construction companies, when they're working on your house, they stick a little sign in your lawn, you know, to bail construction or whatever the construction is. And I thought, wow, I rented space when I first started from a guy that was a sign company. And I said, man, how much would it cost me to make up these little things that say this parking lot maintained by best sweeping specialist? And we talked about it, and I said, you know, that I can do that. And I called the first customer I had, which was a shopping plaza in Elkhart, Indiana, and asked him if I could put one out there. I didn't want to just willy-nilly do it. And without even thinking, he said, hell no. And it kind of surprised me. And he said, if people think that parking lot's maintained every day that you're sweeping it, he said, they're going to be throwing stuff from their house in the parking lot. He saw that vision right away that I did not see. And
right.
I think he's right.
I think he is.
If a parking lot looks clean, people are less likely to throw their empty their ashtray or throw a bag with McDonald's stuff in it on the lot. If the lot's already dirty or they see some other trash, man, they have no qualms about it. You know, they just
right.
Rip it out there. They're not the only one making it dirty. See, somebody else did it too. So,
well, I think that's something that all of us in the industry that have been here for a while can relate to, is that when we tell people what industry we're involved with, they've never even thought about it.
No, they don't even know. When I first got my sweeper, people said, how are you going to make a living doing that? And I didn't even have a good answer for them. I mean, I was flying by the seat of my pants. Well, I'm hoping, you know, and then you get a second and a third, and all of a sudden it needs to be done.
Yeah, it's a very necessary service.
It just happened. It evolved, and I'm glad it did. I kind of missed the days when it was just me, because, you know, when you do have headaches, it's usually because an employee's sick or somebody needs a vacation right in the heart of your busiest season. They got to go do something or some, you know. It was much easier when it was just me working 80 hours a week. I can work 50 or 60 hours a week, which is an average week, 50 to 60 hours for me. And go home and feel like I'm supposed to be doing more, you know. But I liked it when it was just me and one truck and doing it. But when you have to decide, you're either going to grow or you're not. And I guess I chose to grow, and I've earned all these headaches I get.
Well, and you've certainly made a dent in your area as a leading provider in your area of Indiana, and clearly are doing the job that you love. So,
yeah, there's no doubt about it, which is why I enjoy talking so much with you, because you obviously know the business, and I can talk till I'm blue in the face with other people, and they'll sit there nod and listen, but they don't give a darn.
Yeah, at the end,
And when you talk to somebody like yourself who's been in this business for a long time, or when I get down to Schwartz and talk to those people, or even when I work for Elgin, like I said, that just, it just, it's neat to know that there's other people doing what you're doing, and you have the same headaches. And I've got smaller sweeper companies all around me that call me up for advice. And to say I have competition, I really don't. I have friends in the business that do the same thing I do. And, you know, I'll help them out any way I can, and they'll help me. If I actually had a contractor down in Wabash that there was a Memorial Day weekend, and I had given my other two day guys that weekend off because I had nothing planned, and then this big job called in, and they were already out of town, and I called this guy down in Wabash that we had talked several times together, and he brought his two trucks up there, and the three of us knocked it out. I got a customer happy. They made money. I paid them exactly what I was getting paid per hour, which, you know, I didn't mark it up or do anything. They got what they earned, and they were happy, tickle pink, and that's that, you know. So we work together, and I think that's, if everybody did that instead of cutting throat, I think you'd be better off. There's enough work out there for all of us. You know, some people get down dirty and nasty and work for nothing, and it's just hurting the whole industry.
Well, I can say there is no better place to leave it than that.
Okay.
We've been listening to Tim Skinner, the head of Best Sweeping Specialist in Goshen, Indiana. They are the February 2012 Featured Contractor of the Month here at World Sweeper, and very well deserved. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed all of this. I consider it an honor, and I'm flattered, and I'm going to let all the people that work for me know, and hopefully they'll read what's written. And I do care for them, and I think they know that, but it's nice if they can read it somewhere or hear about it somewhere else besides me.
All right. Thank you.